And next up on NPR is the Stream of Random Show. You're listening to WNJT Trenton, New Jersey. And the Stream of Random Show is the award-winning, controversial show that brings you the most random information. We know you love it. Wow, NPR is getting worse and worse. And they still keep me on. I don't know why. So I just want to make some comments. First of all, I've been editing. I'm on August 6th. So I'm 12 days behind on even listening and editing to my show. I guess I'm going to spend the whole weekend editing, but I don't even have the time. So I have to start producing less content and only say things that are important, because my old form of streaming everything from my consciousness onto tape is not, it creates a huge backlog of processing it. Like, it's fine if I'm just gonna write it straight out to the internet, but if I'm actually gonna edit it, make show notes for it, unless I have a whole team of people working for me, and of course then why would they want to do that? Of all the things they could do, why would they want to do that? Why would they even want to listen? Now, I have to say, I'm very proud that we've gotten hundreds and hundreds of listens of my episodes on BitChute. Hundreds of them. And these other platforms. Even on Rumble, it's getting some views. So I was quite happy to hear. And I have to think, what is the best usage of my time? Sure, I could just record this stuff and dump it out there, but who's going to listen to it except maybe my dad, so he has someone to listen to when he goes to sleep? And I haven't been getting calls from people saying, hey, where's your daily episode? They haven't been saying, Mike, we need more. Nope, it's been silent. So that would mean that we haven't been reaching people with the random message. And it's just too much random information. There's a point where you reach the point of no return. I'd like to coin this, or the point of no return of experience, with the bandwidth of your experience overwhelms the ability to process it. It's like driving too fast, where you're going so fast that you can't react quickly enough to changes around you. I saw a bunch of these mushrooms popping up everywhere, these little gray mushrooms in the lawn and the dirt, everywhere, especially in this new soil that was laid out. Whole clusters of them, which I guess are spores. Well, I don't have to worry about these think pauses. So what I wanted to say, my thought this morning when I got up is, wow, my brain is able to remember all of this information somehow and connect all of these different things together and put them together. I'm like a sponge sucking up all this information about things around me. I felt quite happy with myself in terms of mental capacity. And it's all in my head. I'm not writing any notes. So we have this mental process going, and then we have a review of that mental process, like we were talking about before, like the Turing machine running the Turing machine, etc. But if we consider the fact that it also takes up capacity to do something, that would mean that after a certain point, you're going to lose your ability to reflect over what's happening, and you're just going to become it and experience it without reflection, because it'll become so overwhelming that you've reached a point of no return, as I mentioned. And in number theory as well, we reach these points where you use up all of your CPU. I mean, that's what is the key takeaway of mine from studying math and complexity. It's like, when I first started looking at the compilers, I got lost in these integer types. But then I finally realized yesterday, everything's an integer type in the computer. Everything's encoded into integers, and that's like a key part here. It's all mathematics. It's all numbers. Anyway, you can't escape it.
The matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room.
You can see it when you look out your window, or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work,
when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
So it's the breaking down of these preconceived notions that is freeing up my mind to think new thoughts. And that is the decomposition function, or the fungus function, basically. Destroying old forms and freeing up resources to create new forms. So analysis and synthesis. The thought process. And we're just in the middle of it. It's happening right now. And the problem... Okay, and then we get into thinking while speaking. The separation of thought and words. And again, separation of meaning and numbers. But eventually, once you get into it, deep down into it, you can't separate them. Because the thought is a number. The process of thinking is a process. So, not very well put. But my intuition here is, let me try and restate this. I'm thinking while speaking, and my thoughts are in words. And my words are now guiding my thoughts recursively, where my one thought builds up upon the previous thought. The one step builds up on the previous step, where it's only an intuition that I'm following and guiding, and not really a premeditated thought. I'm kind of like generating random sentences and observing them and saying, oh, is this matching my intuition or not? Does this match up with my gut feeling? Yes or no, and then try again. So we're trying to generate a key to the lock. We're trying to figure out what's the password to unlock the vault. Okay, so is thought separate from its form? So let's get back to it. So I was talking about this intuition, the being overwhelmed with information situation. So the point of no return of bandwidth in a recursive system, where you have complexity that's escalating more and more, and eventually it'll consume all of your processing capacity so that you can't grasp it or reflect over it anymore. So overwhelmed. So overwhelmingly complex processing requirements coming from unbound input So I was thinking about all of these different possibilities and how I can process them and pull them together and recall them and connect them. And I guess it's also part of sleeping on things and processing when you sleep, dreaming about them, and getting enough sleep, the reorganization of the brain. But in the end, it's going to be some kind of data that's being stored and processed. They've shown that some of this data, this audio data, is actually stored and could be, that voices in your head can be, or played back in your audio subsystem, and you can record those. So that's one thing. We talked about that before. And I guess I'm underestimating the complexity of this topic. So maybe things are more complicated than we think. Maybe there's more moving parts that are not being brought into perspective here. We have probably different levels of language, different translations of things. But I'm really blessed to have this park to walk in every day, to have this nature around me. Not everything around me is buildings and people. Oh, I had some skits that I was working on, some ideas. Well, the one skit is based on the idea that Germany got so many Syrian refugees because they need, they have an aging population and they need fresh blood. And now the Syrians are asking for too much money. So they basically told Joe that we need some more refugees. So that's why this Afghan crisis occurred, because, you know, Europe needs more refugees to work for free. So I guess we could start with the companies, Messerschmitt, Dornier, Aerospace, Maybach Motors, and Zeppelin, who brought you World War One and Two, are sponsoring this show. So we'll say, hey, from the people who brought you World War One and Two, Zeppelin, the Zeppelin Company, in association with Maybach Motors, Dornier Aerospace, and Messerschmitt, we just want to let you know that we need more cheap labor. And these Syrians are starting to ask for too much money. So that's why we need some Afghans to come to Germany and work for us. So we're sponsoring the Stream of Random to get the message out that it is a great thing to have humanitarian crises all over the world if they're going to send those poor people over to Germany to work for free, because that's the way we used to do it. In World War II, we would just have the people chained to desks and they would work for free. And it's a great system. So that's my skit. And then I had another skit where with a recent legalization of marijuana, that that there's been that the drug dealers have had to search for new sources of income, so they would need to start selling fake COVID test results and also fake vaccine passport. And it kind of goes like this. It's like, oh, we got fentanyl, we got heroin, we got crack cocaine, we got negative and positive COVID tests from different agencies. They have different prices. We got a quick test for $20. We have a validated office test for $100. And now for the vaccine passport, the cheapest one we got is $100 from Senegal. It's a vaccine passport that you got vaccinated in Senegal. That's $100. Now, if you want the one from France, that's $300. The one from Germany is $500. If you want one from the United States, that's $1,200 for a fake vaccine card. So that was kind of my skit. I know the delivery sucks. Just an idea, delivering this with dry humor. Boy, there's a lot of golf balls that got hit by this lawnmower. They must change the blades on that thing often. Okay, kids. Well, listen, I'm going to wrap this up, and I hope you have a great day.
Feed the fungus, 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 feed the fungus